across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. If you're not up here already, hope you can get up here soon, maybe in time for this weekend. It's Thursday, June 8th, 2023. It is 49 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. A little cooler than it's been, but it's still quite pleasant. And so we're in the Goldilocks zone for the moment here. Not too hot, not too cold, and not too smoky. And nothing like what they're seeing out east, unfortunately, because of the smoke from more Canadian wildfires. Coming up on the program for this Thursday morning, we'll talk about the difference between shortcuts and solutions. Because let's face it, when Republicans in the legislature start rejecting ideas favored by Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce, you know it's a group of GOP lawmakers who've lost the ability to simply govern and are content just saying no to everything because that's all they've really known how to do. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki about this week's headlines. We'll also ask him what happens at state party conventions as Democrats gather this weekend in Green Bay. In our second hour, the theme is guns and responsibility. They should go hand in hand. We remind you that there is overwhelming public support for some basic gun safety proposals because there is overwhelming public support for responsible gun ownership rather than encouraging a Wild West culture that endangers our kids and our law enforcement officers, as we have sadly found out too often already this year. A Green Bay police officer will join us in this week's Hometown Health segment. And we start the 7 o'clock hour with State Representative Deb Andraca to talk about how the Republican majority is engaged in hypocrisy and doublespeak on supporting cops, but opposing the measures that could keep them safer. We have all of that along the way here. And if you have comments on those topics or other things that come up, keep that studio line number handy, 844-967-2789. And you can always send us a note on your keyboard or your phone. Just tap it out to radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Upnorthnewswi.com is where you find the work of Up North News and the reporters and other good folks that I work with, separate from Civic Media, but fully supportive of these great radio stations. And a reminder that you can go to civicmedia.us and look up all the various shows, especially since they changed places. Some new shows got started. Stu Daniels began his show yesterday on many of our Western Wisconsin stations. There's a lot going on, and somehow Aaron Zommers is finding a way to keep track of all of it and joins us now from Madison. Mr. Zommers, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it helps. It helps being here in the production booth that I can just keep checking all the spreadsheets and be like, okay, this is what's happening. All right.
Sometimes it feels like you need a program. And now we do. You don't. If you're listening to any one station, just listen to the station. Set it and forget it and listen to us, you know, throughout the day. But as I say frequently, you might want to sample some of the other shows. Maybe you hear me talking to Chad Holmes once a week, but you're not up in Wausau, so you can't hear him on Bull Falls Radio. You can listen as a podcast, and the same goes for Todd Alba or Stu Daniels or everything out there. And so have you figured out the regular work schedule yet, or are you still kind of, is it still an adventure this week with all the shows changing and things like that?
Well, I know what my schedule will be, but this week is still definitely an adventure. Since currently there's going to be a new producer for the Todd Alba show. And I've been training him, working with him this week. So I've had some long days, but it's fun and it's working out.
It is. And of course the folks who do all the engineering and technical matters, they've had a crazy week. And I texted one of them yesterday because I'm going to be in Green Bay. I'm going to visit people at the state Democratic convention. And I know that we're building a new studio in Green Bay. I sent a note. I'd seen it before when it was under construction. I'm assuming it's kind of ready, although not, I don't know if it's being used regularly. So I sent a note to one of the guys saying, hey, I'm going to maybe be in Green Bay. Is the office accessible and is the Wi-Fi working? My response back, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, yeah.
When you ever see that in a text message, that's not a good sign. I'm like, well, you know, a simple yes or no would suffice here. But I think that was just his way of blowing off a little steam on what has been a very long week. And, you know, God bless them for it. There's a lot to juggle there, and I'm glad they're doing it. Of course, it could be that maybe one of them isn't working so much, because I did just read that one person took home a $1 million Powerball jackpot after buying a ticket at a Festival of Foods in Fond du Lac. So you're here. So it probably wasn't your $1 million.
Oh, no,
wasn't me.
It was not.
I'm here. So we're definitely on the lookout for anybody who is in or has passed through Fond du Lac. If they're missing lately, chances are they're at a travel agency booking many good travels for the winter. Although it's weird to say, $1 million doesn't go as far as it used to. When we were kids, it was like, oh, if you got $1 million, you were set for life. Now, not so much.
Yeah, $1 million is still really nice.
It's still nice. You can still do a lot, but it's no longer like this lifetime thing. You know, you have to be a billionaire for that. And that's just nothing I can't even conceive of right now. In the Up North News newsletter, we talk about diabetes in Wisconsin, statistics, how to reduce your risks, and when that $35 price cap on insulin is going to kick in for many Americans. Again, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com or look for Up North News WI on social media. Take a break right here and talk about headlines in just a sec. You're up north. Playing Bossed Gags here because I believe it's for birthday reasons. Yes, it is. 79 years old today for Bossed Gags. And we have plenty of other musical notes and a history lesson coming up at 6:50. I believe Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining about that time as well. A reminder that tomorrow on the program, some of our usual Friday suspects, Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom National Correspondent, will talk a bit about the PGA Tour being taken over by the Saudi government. We'll talk to media critic Mark Jacob. We will also talk to State Assembly Representative Melissa Radcliffe on broadband expansion across Wisconsin and the recent move by Republicans to slow that down. We will not have Dan Schumacher. He is busy traveling with the Deadheads, you know, the thing that Stu Daniels was doing. They're on a tour, and, you know, tis the season. If you're a Deadhead, you go see whatever incarnation of the Grateful Dead is out there playing these days. In sports at 6:16, Joey Weimer and his mullet went 4-for-4 with a pair of two-run homers and a double and a career-high 5 RBIs to spark the Brewers to a 10-2 blowout of the Baltimore Orioles on Wednesday night. Joey Weimer now has an 8-game hitting streak. Willy Adames came back after missing 10 games when he got plunked in the head in the dugout by a foul ball. Came back and took the second pitch, turned on it, and sent it over the wall. Home run in the first inning to give the Brewers the lead for good. Corbin Burnes picked up his first win since May 12th. He's now 5 wins and 4 losses. He struck out 9 while allowing only 2 hits and no walks over a full 8 innings. The series will wrap up this afternoon. Colin Ray will be on the mound. Then the Oakland A's come to town for 3 games starting tomorrow night. And then next week, the Brewers will be in Minnesota to play the Twins on Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon. You can hear all those Brewers games in the Richland Center area on News from the Center and on Oshkosh Air Support all throughout the Fox Valley. Before we get to some of the headlines, I had to ask Aaron whether you probably have never heard that Boss Gag song, Georgia, but you were saying that there's a chance you might not be familiar with Boss Gags.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought
the Lido, even now, all these years later, the Lido shuffle seems like it's like ubiquitous to any kind of, you know, classic rock radio, and there was Lowdown. You'll probably play some more because I know that's what you do in the off hours there.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll recognize it. I just know that when I was younger, I was terrible with knowing who was playing which songs and what the names were. I was just listening to, honestly, mostly like the drums and the bass, and I didn't know the words or any of that kind of stuff.
So, you know, that makes sense. And everybody has their forte. And mine was I liked Top 40 radio because I liked the disc jockeys. This was the era of the boss DJs, and I loved hearing them come in and out. And it's always been one of my beefs with radio these days is that the DJs don't often enough tell you who the song is by. They don't actually introduce the records. They seem to talk about everything else. They'll do celebrity and gossip news, but they won't come in or out of a song telling you who it is. And there's been plenty of times, like maybe the fourth or fifth time, I'll turn to Sherry or my girls and go, who is this? They never say who it is. They count on you to like be streaming and to automatically know.
Yeah, I guess so. Or maybe they're expecting people now, they'll just pull out their phones and go on Snapchat or Shazam or whatever and hold down a button and be like, what song is this? And it'll tell you.
could very well be. In headlines, Aaron, I was going to start national because I understand that former President Trump was told that he is the focus of an investigation that involves the classified documents that he took out of the White House and moved to Florida. But here's the thing. Just as I was about to pull up either the New York Times or the Washington Post and read some of the latest on it, and this is why I'm letting you know to feel my pain. Yesterday, it wasn't a computer update, but I had to clear my browser cache because some pages just weren't loading anymore. And what happens when you clear your browser cache, Aaron?
You get logged out of everything.
You get logged out of everything. You've got to log into everything. And if you're like me, and you don't use the same password for everything. I use a password management system, which puts a bunch of cryptic passwords into every. So you got to go through every one of them. And just as I was calling up both the Times and the Washington Post, both of them say, hey, if you'd like to read this article, you should sign in. And I am a paid subscriber to both of them, but I'll have to get back to you on the national stories. Well, I'll be spending the next commercial break doing some more logging in. I think that's how this is going to have to work. And don't even get me started on cookies, Aaron.
Yeah, it's at best they're just annoying.
Yes, they are, and yes, some techie can come in here and give me a very cogent explanation of why these things are necessary. I'm just saying they're a damn annoyance, you know, especially at this hour of the morning. So we'll talk national politics in just a little bit. I'll move on to state matters here first. In just a little bit, we're going to talk to Joe Zepecki to get his take on what's gone wrong with the Republican majority in the legislature. A question being asked more frequently after last week when GOP lawmakers rejected a big priority from the business class, an upgrade for the University of Wisconsin College of Engineering. But before we get to that and to Joe, let's review some of the other things that happened under the dome yesterday and what else is being proposed. And you're going to see a common theme here. And let me do give a proper attribution to Skylar Chun from the Journal Sentinel for some of the notes here on this first item about how you address a growing shortage of qualified people to serve as school district superintendents or administrators. How do you handle that when administrators and superintendents leave? Maybe they stuck around for a while because of the pandemic, but now they're ready to retire early. They've reached retirement age. They get better offers. What do you do about that? Do you recruit qualified people to come to Wisconsin by providing competitive pay, maybe paid family leave, maybe equal rights and respect for women's health? Or do you do what legislative Republicans want to do, and that's lower the bar for applicants and no longer require a license from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction that has you certified as somebody experienced and trained in managing a classroom and a school district? Now, needless to say, the two Republicans who are sponsoring this bill say it will, quote, open the talent pool beyond someone who, quote, came through the education ranks, as if that's somehow a bad thing. You see, some of us still think that a professional license is a sign that you've studied, you've prepared, you've gained experience for the job. so that you don't have the instance of, say, a school board made up of folks hostile to public education can't just hire Norm from the local bank as the new school superintendent because, you know, he's good with money and he has taught some of the tellers how to use some new software. So that's the same thing as teaching in a classroom, right? Or perhaps it was put more eloquently by the Wisconsin Association of School District Administrators Executive Director John Bales, who told the Journal Sentinel, quote, "It really is just built off a limited understanding of the complexity of the problem and certainly a lack of understanding about the role of superintendents." Bates said, "We have trouble recruiting doctors, for example, in rural Wisconsin and up north. Nobody's proposing to take away a doctor's license requirement in order to let just anybody do it. It's a complex job. So, frankly, it's not for the lack of licenses." What he's trying to say diplomatically is that shortcuts aren't the same as solutions. Next example. The Assembly on Wednesday took up a series of bills on the subject of professional licensing. There has been a backlog at the agency known as DSPS. That stands for the Department of Safety and Professional Services. So how do you fix it? Do you upgrade the antiquated technology infrastructure of the DSPS? Do you increase the number of people processing applications and helping with customer service to make the department more efficient? I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer, and especially when you consider this. DSPS is funded almost entirely by licensing fees, not extra tax dollars, and the department actually has a surplus of $47 million, but can't spend a penny of it on improvements without going to Republicans in the legislature and saying, pretty please. And the Republicans in the legislature have said no. And they have just let that surplus sit there. Sound familiar? In fact, they wasted some of your money and DSPS resources by earlier this year ordering an audit of the department. And as the DSPS folks had to do extra work to comply with the audit, it took more time away from their already busy jobs. In other words, the Republican prophecy of government not working becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy by the doom loop that they've created. So let's get back to the Assembly and yesterday, the bills that they took up. Did those bills fund extra staff for processing and customer service out of a surplus that already exists in the department budget? No. The bills yesterday add more busy work to DSPS, putting together more numbers that'll show that they're working their tails off, but Republicans will look at the numbers and see, maybe we need fewer occupations that need licenses because working with, you know, strong chemicals or sharp instruments or other hazards can be done by just anyone, right? Assembly Representative Dave Considine of Baraboo put it this way. We must ensure that Wisconsin has high quality professionals and that those professionals are able to get into the workforce in a timely manner. The bills voted on today, he wrote, would not speed up the licensure process or improve the quality of professionals in Wisconsin. We need real solutions. Representative Robin Vining referred to the bills as more partisan games, and Representative Jenna Jacobson said, Wisconsin's labor force cannot grow if we starve DSPS. Wisconsin's labor shortage is real. This isn't about a bunch of lazy people on a couch. The unemployment rate is the lowest in our lifetimes. The number of people working in Wisconsin is at the highest it has ever been. Our problems can't be solved with shortcuts, with allowing fly-by-night grifters to not need licenses, come in and rip us off. And we're not going to solve it by people learning on the job that maybe being an educator isn't as easy as they thought. And you're not going to attract young people, young families, by trumpeting your love of corporate tax cuts. Again, these folks are young. They're not wealthy. They're not thinking about tax rates. They're thinking about finding good jobs in good places. And so we should be using this opportunity with a record budget surplus to improve the workforce, make our schools and communities more attractive. But all we're getting from the legislative Republicans are tired talking points, no solutions, just shortcuts and games, and it's costing us. And we'll hear more about that with our friend Joe Sopecki, and then later from State Assembly Representative Deb Andraca. All just ahead here on a very busy Thursday morning. We'll be back with more with Joe Sopecki next. You're up north. Welcome back. It is bottom of the hour now, 6:33, and our friend Joe Sopecki joins us, as always, at this time to talk about headlines of the past week, of which I wouldn't say any are necessarily, you know, bombshells, but isn't that almost a relief that you can go a week without a bombshell?
It's nice. Nice to mix it up once in a while.
And have I just jinxed everything? Probably.
Probably.
Okay. let's assume I haven't. And let's talk first about something that's not even in the news. It's just something that's happening this weekend. The state Democratic Party is having their convention in Green Bay. State Republicans, did they just have theirs last weekend, or are they the following weekend?
Or I think it's the following weekend, or it's coming up soon in La Crosse.
Okay. But this is just to say, especially in an off year, for folks who, you know, that obviously if they're listening to us, they care about news and politics, but they may not necessarily be party members or go to something like a convention. What typically happens at a convention at the state party level, especially in an off year like this?
Well, first and foremost, it's a big party and a big thank you. And Wisconsin Democrats certainly have a lot to celebrate and a lot of thank yous to make, not only off of the heels of the big win in the state Supreme Court race in April, but also the much better than expected midterm elections last fall that saw Governor Tony Evers reelected, Attorney General Josh Call reelected. So it's sort of an excuse to get together and thank the most dedicated party members. There is also some official business that has to take place. I don't believe it is a contested election this time around, but the chairperson of the Wisconsin Democratic Party is an elected position. Chair Ben Wickler, his term is up. He needs to be formally reelected. I don't believe anyone is challenging him, so not a lot of drama there. But there are times when in these off years, the party has a debate about the future of where they're going and who they want to lead them into the future. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to get together for statewide office holders, for potential candidates in the future, to be in the place where it's happening and try to figure out where they go next. So they're a fun time and experience. I'm not going to sit here and try to count how many I've been to, but I will also say that they're pretty exhausting, and I am not terribly sad that I will be missing this year's festivities due to prior engagements.
I will be stopping by, and I will try to represent you as best that I can. And there I do recall that some of those off years when the party chair is up for election, that some of them are definitely soul searching years, or years where even if things don't seem too bad, there's oftentimes some kind of an insurgency, you know, within the party. So yes, yeah, sometimes these conventions can be a little colorful for folks who are active in the party. Do you think as well that this will be a bit of a pep rally almost for Senator Tammy Baldwin for 2024, and maybe a reminder, as you have done a couple times here, not to take anything for granted?
Yeah, no question. It's a sort of a victory lap and a pat on the back and a job well done for everything that's happened in the past, and it's sort of laying the groundwork for what comes next. And in addition to Wisconsin once again being one of the most important battleground states in the presidential election next year, listen, the Biden campaign will have some presence. Joe Biden's name will be spoken aloud many, many times. Victory laps will be taken. But also we're going to have a very competitive Senate race. Tammy Baldwin will be up for her third term. She certainly had a very successful reelection in 2018. And so, yes, if I know Tammy, I know she is running like she's 10 points behind and knows how important a state Wisconsin is. I have no doubt that she will be firing folks up and asking people to get ready to get into the fight once more.
In terms of what's happening in the legislature and the state budget, the Joint Finance Committee is actually meeting later today, Thursday, to talk over matters. We had State Representative Tip McGuire, a member of the committee, on Wednesday. And a lot of it was looking back at what's happened already. So not that there's a lot of new ground to plow, but I think it is worth mentioning again, as we have previously, that for the Joint Finance Committee, the Republicans on there, what they did in going against Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and others in rejecting a widely supported rebuild for the UW College of Engineering, I called it a head scratcher yesterday, Joe, and I guess it still is until somebody can tell me otherwise what the hell Republicans were thinking.
They've really lost the plot, is the way that I would put it. You know, we entered this budget season, right, which starts, you know, February, March, when the governor gives a budget address and presents a budget, and then you get department by department. So, I mean, this takes a while, but the contours of it were pretty clear. A $7 billion surplus was going to mean that there was a lot of flexibility and a lot of room for people to get things done. Didn't mean everybody was going to get everything they wanted. But what seems to be happening here on issue after issue, whether it's the shared revenue with municipalities and the local funding, whether it's the stadium deal, whether it's broadband expansion, whether it's Medicaid expansion, whether now it's, you know, this critical component of attracting the best and brightest engineers to the University of Wisconsin campus, they're just saying no to everything. They've really lost the plot, and they're doing so in a way where they're falling behind. And that's the other thing that I want to just flag for listeners is when you have such big majorities by the Republicans in both houses of the legislature, the presumption has been they're going to get their stuff figured out and they're going to send a budget to the governor that looks very different from what the governor wants to do because he's a member of the other party, and that the real, like, contentious pieces of that are going to come in the line item vetoes. Does he veto the whole thing? And that's not the track that we're on. And the simplest explanation for that is the Republican Party is divided. It is a House divided. This is not just a Donald Trump versus everything else political stakes and elections issue. The Republican Party as a governing institution is divided, whether that's Voss in the Assembly, LeMahieu in the Senate, whether that is the caucus's most conservative members, those who are more sort of what I would say old school traditional Republicans who want to get things done. And as a result, they continue to just say no, because that's the easiest thing to do. They continue to sort of just wait, like this $7 billion surplus is going to spend itself. And as a result, more and more Wisconsinites, more and more interested parties, whether it's the business community, whether it's Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, whether it's mayors and county executives, are all sitting here going, what the hell are you guys doing? At what point are we going to get some clarity and make some choices? And so far, the Republican legislature has not done that. And I think that's worth noting as we sit here 3 weeks from the end of the biennial budget. They got a lot of work left to do if they want to get this thing in on time.
Yeah, I am starting to wonder. I really thought they would have something put together earlier, and it appears they just don't have what it takes to finish the job because of these disagreements, divisions, whatever you want to call them. And I think it's completely emblematic of what I would say if you were looking at, you know, large scales of blocks of time, you know, like you're like they did in the dinosaurs, the Mesozoic era or what have you. We're still in the Reaganism era to this degree. Republicans used to be the party that also wanted to govern, but had disagreements in how to govern, but they did want to do things. But in this era of the current Republican Party, they don't want to do anything. They just want government to be an enemy, to be defunded, to be shrunk. And that's going to take us into our next story about, you know, vacancies in public sector positions. But first I want your thoughts on that, Joe, that really is the The thing about Republicans today is that they don't want to govern. They don't want to actually they think it's you're doing something wrong if you're actually spending a dollar to do something productive. And it's okay to spend that dollar, even if you want to do it differently from Democrats, but they don't want to even do that much.
Yeah. And that's the divide in the Republican Party. You know, at the federal level, where there's a little bit more coverage of this, I think people understand there's this MAGA wing of the Republican Party, you know, sometimes referred to as the House Freedom Caucus. You know, they just want to watch the world burn, to use a Joker analogy from the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. And those are the ones who Joe Biden is talking about when he says this is not your father or your grandfather's Republican Party. There are still some people who want to get things done. It's here in Wisconsin in the state legislature. Maybe that chaos part of the caucus has sort of overtaken the responsible Republicans who say, hey, guys, clock's ticking. We have some flexibility here. We can return some money to taxpayers. We can make a down payment on the future. We can do some things here, make some investments that will yield benefits for generations to come. But as a result of that split, they're just kind of stuck. And when that's the case, it's the taxpayers who lose.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum published a report on Tuesday talking about turnover among state employees in Wisconsin and how it has soared to a record high. There are huge vacancy rates, which then becomes essentially a death spiral as other people are overworked than they want to leave. And I think it's important you noted that you would say, well, your instinct is to say, oh, well, this is just Act 10 and this is the natural result of it. But I think you're reminding folks that actually there's more to it than that.
Well, Act 10 is a big part of it. And it is the most direct public policy impact. And the costs of it are staggering. When you have 5,700 unfilled vacancies for an entire year in state government, there are a lot of Wisconsinites who might hear that and go, that's great, we got to shrink the size of government. But then when you explain to them how many of those unfilled roles are corrections officers, which means that if you want to talk tough on crime and lock up violent criminals, but you don't have enough prison guards or corrections officers, what is a judge supposed to do when it comes time to sentence people? There is an actual cost to your community. Right. When you look at the proportion of those 5,700 jobs who are VA staff, who we want to keep the promises to our veterans, to the women and men who wear this country's uniform so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we hold so dear. Now it's not, oh, yay, we shrank government. It's, oh, man, there's really a cost to this. Now, what I will say is, in addition to Act 10 and it therefore being harder for, state workers to be well represented, to have rights in the workplace, to have the freedom to negotiate for higher wages and better working conditions, stuff that for a long time we took for granted in this country. In addition to that, I do think that in the state government workforce, in the federal government workforce, in the private sector workforce, in young people who are starting their careers, across the board, the pandemic continues to have impacts that we don't really fully understand yet, right? It really changed, I think, a lot of people's perspectives on their careers, how they earn their livelihoods, what type of dignity they want out of the work that they go and do every day. And so I think that's part of the equation. But in the final analysis, it is once again the taxpayers who are suffering and missing out because the policymakers have made choices that have made it harder for the state to retain the workforce needed to do the job. And, to my conservative friends out there, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe, and most Democrats don't believe, that the government should do everything. But the things that it is supposed to do for the taxpayers, it has to be able to do well. And right now, that is really, really tough in an environment where you can't get people to do the work.
We have left ourselves 30 seconds to talk about Wisconsin having a record year for tourism, nearly $24 billion, 111 million visits to the state. Joe, is there any one person who should especially get accolades for that in this state?
I mean, I call it the Ann Sayers effect, but I've known Ann for years, and she is a tremendous secretary of tourism. And of course, it is a testament to this great state and the great people that live here. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Zabecki, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Always appreciate Mr. Zabecki being here on our Thursday afternoon so that we can visit. But our next visit is with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We will have today's history lesson, a little music break. We'll be joined just after the top of the hour by State Representative Deb Andraca to talk about gun legislation and why it is languishing in this legislature. And then Dr. Lyerly is back with Hometown Health at 7:30, along with a Green Bay police officer to talk about responsible gun ownership. So much still ahead on this Thursday morning. You're up north. I actually get sad now when I hear this song from Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. The reason being, it was the theme song when Dennis Miller had his own syndicated show for a while. And it just reminds me of when Dennis Miller was funny. And that was before he became an old crotchety right winger. The guy was just irreverent, and it, you know, didn't matter if you were left or right, he'd skewer you equally. And now he's just a grouch. He is the complete opposite of Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who joins us now. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. What a beautiful morning, huh?
What a gorgeous day. Yes. I mean, it's not too hot. I actually have a long sleeve shirt on for the first time in a week here. And it's quite bearable, especially since I'm out there a lot, just me and my one little sprinkler. Everybody else has in-ground sprinkler systems, you know, or multiple sprinklers. And it's always been just me, a garden hose, and one sprinkler that I move from spot to spot to spot.
There's something very satisfying about that, though. And you stay cool as you're moving it from spot to spot to spot.
Well, it's my, you know, upbringing. When you're grow up in the city and your lawn is the size of a postage stamp, you know, one sprinkler is supposed to handle all of that. And now my lawn's a little bit bigger than that, but still, you got to do what you got to do when things are getting really crispy around the edges here. Mm-hmm. Because what did I hear for here in the Chippewa Valley? It's been almost 1 month since we got a quarter inch of rain in a day. Wow. So we're more than ready.
We're super dry out here as well, mm-hmm. but you're welcome. I made camping reservations for the weekend and it looks like it's going to rain Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Well, there you go.
Someone's got to take the hit for us.
Yep. Thanks for the rain dance. Appreciate that. Anyway, that Tears for Fears song was the number one song this week in 1985. Now we're going to go back to 1974 when Paul McCartney and Wings topped the charts with this one. It was back then when the Beatles and the Beach Boys and others were writing songs, and then you're not really sure if they had a point at times. They kind of, you know, wandered off, but they were still fun little ditties. And so that was the top of the pop charts on this day in 1974. On the top of the country chart this day in 1974 was Dolly Parton with I Will Always Love You, 20 years before Whitney Houston made it a hit. Were you familiar with Dolly's version before Whitney did it in The Bodyguard?
Oh, no.
No? I think I want to say yes for me too. I'm not absolutely sure, but I think maybe I knew, but I'd forgotten. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's a Dolly Parton song. And now, of course, she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right. I was really surprised when I first learned about that, but then it really actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Universal Pictures was started this day in 1912 by a guy who was tired of how Thomas Edison was running the way that movies are produced and distributed. Which makes sense since he's the guy that basically invented motion pictures, but it's one thing to invent it. It's another thing to actually manage it. And George Orwell's book 1984 was published on this day in 1949. Another birthday here. This would be, oh my gosh, 84 years old now for Nancy Sinatra.
You and her 1966 saying, you got hit. Something for me.
I'm going to bust out my go-go boots. Something you call love,
but confess. Nancy Sinatra had these boots are made for walking in 1966. Some other birthdays, and we've already heard from Boz Scaggs. Boz was not his real name. He was born William Royce Scaggs in Canton, Ohio. Did you know this? He and Steve Miller of the conveniently named Steve Miller Band, they attended UW-Madison together in 1962-63. They were high school friends.
I knew Steve Miller did, but I did not know Boz Scaggs.
Well, and Boz was only there for like the first year, and then the music bug really bit, and he joined a band, and he was with Steve Miller's band in the very early years, but then went off and did his own thing. Let's see. This is also the birthday of yesterday we had Tom Jones, who's from Wales, and now we have another well-known singer from Wales, Bonnie Tyler. Was born this day in 1953, which makes her 70 years old today. And we will hear more from her later on at the end of the show. And we'll see if we can get Kristen to maybe do a sing-along. You've got kind of a Bonnie Tyler voice to you, don't you?
Especially right now.
you are familiar with the group Simply Red. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those cases where I did not know the name of the lead singer till yesterday. His name is Mick Hucknall. And it's his birthday today. He is 63 years old, and we'll hear Do the Right Thing from him coming up at 7:15. And one more birthday, happy 46th birthday to Kanye West, born in Atlanta, Georgia. This is like the only Kanye song I know.
It's the number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town.
Yeah, it's not even his song, it's Estelle's song, but I do enjoy it.
But Graduation.
He had produced tracks for Jay-Z before starting his solo career in 2004 with his album The College Dropout. He married a Kardashian and life went to hell after that. So
now we have the Kanye that we have today, who
I didn't even write any notes about the Kanye we have today. It's just so odd, and you want to mock it, and then on the other hand you want to make a serious pitch about, you know, mental health care. And it's, I don't know, I guess I would say his is kind of a sad tale at this point. You always believe in redemption, but pardon the cliche, but we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, and separate that from his music, because really, especially some of his earlier stuff is really innovative.
Yes, yeah, there are others. I just happen to pick my favorite one at this point. We're going to talk about hometown health at 7:30. We're going to talk about responsible gun safety, because we're going to have Representative Deb Andraka on in about 10 minutes or so here. So when you were picking out the segment, you went with responsible gun ownership as well, right?
I did. Well, I saw that you were having Representative Andraka on, who is brilliant in this area. And I thought, hey, hometown health, who could I ask? Oh, I'll ask my partner, who's a police officer, for his perspective on responsible gun ownership, because he definitely has an opinion. And I think it'll be really interesting for our listeners to hear it.
And the aforementioned partner is Green Bay Police Officer Craig Carlson. It's police officer, right? There's not another title in there. Go with officer.
That's okay. Correct.
All right. And you actually didn't tell him that I asked by text message if Craigers is all ready to go today? Looking to see if you referred to him that way? No?
I did not say Craigers.
Okay. Hey, I've got 1 minute left, and I'm going to apologize on air to Mark from Prairie du Sac, because that's not going to leave us enough time to chat on the phone here, because you want to talk about professional licensing. And I know that, Mark, you were probably going to make a very cogent point about this, but I've also got a licensed doctor here, so I've got 25 seconds to ask her. Do you think the state of Wisconsin is doing enough already with licensing, or do we need to pare that back? Do we not need as many professional licenses?
Oh boy, that's a whole thing. We don't have 25 seconds can't even begin to handle that.
I was just actually going to make the case just for concepts. Not that there can't be tweaks and changes, but shall we not throw out the baby with the bathwater?
And actually, sure, in your position, our professionals are licensed.
In your profession, we could, you don't want to throw out the baby with the license. You throw out the license and goodness knows what. Hey, we will see you at 7:30 for Hometown Health. Thank you.
Sounds good. See you soon.
All right. Yep. Talk to you soon. Representative Deb Andraka joins us next. You're up north.